It's the Sunday of the third Sunday of Lent, and the traditional gospel for the cycle A is the woman at the well. I didn't preach this Sunday in my parish because the deacons were preaching, but I thought maybe I'd just put a few quick reflections here for some who listen on the internet and perhaps even some parishioners who log into my site. Regarding the woman at the well, I think a couple of things really stand out that are so significant. She's coming to this well, and every day she comes to this well, and she gets water, and that water runs out in a way, kind of a way of saying it lets her down ultimately, and it can't really come through for her. She has to keep coming back to the well, keep coming back. Well, the well is a symbol of the world. And the Lord says to her in this gospel, he says, you have to keep coming back to this well. Everyone who drinks from this well will be thirsty again. And he's trying to teach us, as he speaks to her, that we keep going back to the well of the world. We keep thinking, if I just get a new car, or a new spouse, or a new job, or a new house, or something, then I'll be satisfied, then I'll be happy, and everything will be fine. And it's just never the case. We get what we want, and we're still needy, we're still hungry, still thirsty. So the first teaching that again comes from this gospel is just the inability of the world to ultimately satisfy us, because when you think about it, our desires are infinite, completely infinite, and the world is finite, it's limited. Our desires are unlimited, and a limited, finite world cannot satisfy unlimited, infinite desire. And it's a remarkable teaching for us to reflect on. And we keep thinking, if I just get this, it'll be enough. And it's never enough. Because we were made for God. And we'll never really rest until we rest in God. So the Lord says, I want to give you a water that will well up into you to eternal life. And in other words, the Lord wants to give us a relationship with him that will begin to satisfy the gnawing desires that we have and begin to give us peace, to shalom, a sense of just being at peace with God and with one another. And only God can give this to us. And of course, it will ultimately be fulfilled for us in heaven. But even now, he wants to give us a foretaste of this. And as we grow in our faith, it's just a remarkable time for us to reflect on what matters to us most. Ultimately, are those deep recesses of our heart where we yearn for peace, we yearn for truth and beauty and love and acceptance. And ultimately, only a long-term relationship with God can really begin to give this to us. And the next thing I want to just point out in this gospel is that after this long discussion with her, the woman comes to the point where she says, look, I do want this water. And the Lord says, good, good. But before I can give it to you, we need to talk about some things in your life that are hindering you. And he says, go call your husband. And rather humorous detail, she has no husband. And in fact, she's had five husbands, and now she's all shacked up with a man who's not her husband. And the Lord says, when your hand is filled with things of the world or sin or something that is not of God, you can't be filled with God. We have to let go of things. And it's almost like if I had in my hands $160 million in cash to give you, but you were carrying boxes of sand or something, you'd have to put those boxes down to receive the gift. And then I can give you the cash, so to speak. And everything kind of amounts to sand that we're carrying around from this world, but there it is, we cling to it, and it's our sins, it's our attachments to this world, and so on, and only the Lord can help us really to let go of these things so that he can truly fill us with the water he wants to give us. So he says, well, I can give you this water, but we've got to confront the issue of sin in your life, your struggle with sin. And he invites her to recollect and be repentant of that. And then, what a fascinating little detail. Just two more things I want to mention. A fascinating little detail. It says, when she ran back to town to get the others to come and meet him, to come and meet Jesus, she leaves her water jar behind. And it's a beautiful little detail. And a lot of people almost miss it when they read this gospel. She left her water jar and ran to town. What had been her whole focus, her preoccupation, everything that she, you know, was there to do at the well, just she left it all behind. And again, this too is what can happen in our lives. It's, we can begin to leave our water jar, this worldly, all our worldly preoccupations and misplaced priorities and sins and struggles and all the things that hinder us. And she is now free to run and go tell someone about the Lord because she's experienced something powerful. And she left the water jar, beautiful image of what needs to happen for us, to leave so much behind. And then the final point to just say is she ran to the town and she says something very beautiful. She says, come and see someone who told me everything I ever did. And I don't think she's just referring there to the fact that Jesus was able to know the fact miraculously that she'd had five husbands and the man she was married with now wasn't her own. I don't think she's just thinking of that. Wasn't that a neat trick? He'd never met me before, but he knew everything, what I was doing. But rather, what I think she's getting at is, come and meet someone who told me who I really am, who put my life in perspective for me, who has helped me to understand not only who I am, but whose I am, and has given me truly a focus and a meaning and a perspective on my life that I've never had before, see? And this is a beautiful image here. And isn't it really the testimony that we who are trying to be faithful need to be able to give? That since I've really come to the Lord and really spent time with Him, and I'm receiving this water from Him, and I'm beginning to let go and leave behind my water jar, and I'm beginning to experience this freedom, you know, the Lord has really shown me the real true purpose and meaning of my life. That I wasn't made for this world. That I belong to God, and I was made for God. And so it's a beautiful image there of what the Lord can do for us to completely change our priorities and perspectives and preoccupations and so on. So, again, a beautiful gospel. I didn't have a time, you know, to say today that it was not assigned to preach a full mass. You know, I'm the pastor here, but I let the deacons preach this weekend, and but it's a beautiful gospel. I thought I'd give these reflections, and we just simply ask God to allow the message of this gospel to come through to us. There's an old hymn to finish with it. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard my Savior calling. I forget how it goes, but anyway, it's it. But I was seeking for things that could not satisfy, but only the Lord can fill this God-sized hole in our heart. Amen.